Welcome back, murder friends, to
Under the Influence of True Crime. That's Kate, and she's telling our story.
And that's Em, and they're under the influence.
Almost
of paint fumes.
Oh my god, I think I have just been high for the last 2 days, just off of paint. Oh my god, I've been painting nonstop for the last 2 days at my office.
Her work, yeah.
And I would simply like to pass away.
I would also like to make a note for everyone on the off chance you can hear it. I don't think our microphone is good enough for you to hear it, but my neighbors are going through it right now. And if you hear it, it's just send some good vibes Kate's way that they'll break up soon, because this is just ridiculous. So, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Cool. So before we get started, Em's going to hit us with our missing person of the week.
First. Okay. Today's missing person is from Alaska. He is missing from Willow, Alaska. His name is David Borer, I'm going to say. It's B-O-R-E-R. He was born March 21st, 1981, and he has been missing since April 25th, 1989.
Holy shoot.
Missing for a really long time. Yeah, he was 8 when he went missing. He would now be around 40-ish. And I do have a picture of when he went missing and then like a little bit of an aged up photo, but
where was he snatched?
So he left home approximately 5 p.m. to play at a sandbar area near Mile 82 Park Highway. Has not been seen since. He has a small scar under his right eye and a scar above his left eye. His front teeth protrude slightly, but obviously that was like when he was 8. So probably not still now. He was last seen wearing a red coat, green jeans, and a green plaid shirt. But again, he's been missing since 89 from Willow, Alaska. And they do say that it is confirmed to be a non-family abduction.
Oh, okay.
But if you have any information, you can contact the Alaska State Trooper Missing Persons Unit at 907-733-2256.
Boom.
It's so weird to me that people can just like
disappear.
Up and vanish for 40 years.
I mean, especially because like with some of these, like with Bryce, like it feels like he wanted to be missing, but like this kid was 8. He did not want to be missing.
He didn't just go out one day and be like, bye.
Be like, peace out. Fuck the government.
True.
I'm trying to think of any other business that we potentially have.
I sure didn't have anything.
Okay. So are you ready?
Yep.
Are you exhausted?
I am exhausted. I mean, fucking exhausted.
I was like, you seem kind of tired, but I also know you've been painting for a lot of time.
I was on the clock yesterday from 10 a.m. to 12:30 a.m.
Painting?
I was, on the clock for almost a whole day. Yeah, painting, because the ceilings in here, I'm sure you remember, like, how tall the ceilings in here are.
You said it's been 45 years.
Truly. I only did the lobby and the hallway, and that's how long it took me.
Okay, so today's case is actually going to be a pretty short one. I know that we are the queens of saying that and it not being true. So
we didn't spend 20 minutes talking this time.
Hopefully. So. I don't know. We're just freeballing out here in the world.
We are really out here raw dogging it.
We truly, truly do be raw dogging like God intended.
Before Kate gets started on her story, I just wanted to do a quick little apology because I forgot to add in a trigger warning for last episode. Sorry about that. Hopefully.
We realized it just now.
We literally just now realized. I assume no one really noticed that I also forgot because no one said anything to me. But anyway, so we literally just, like, Kate just saw in real time me realizing I didn't do a trigger warning.
I started to say trigger warning and they went, oh no.
Yeah.
It was the Kool-Aid man busting through the wall.
It really fucking was. It just like, it set in. And then I was like, you need to stop talking right now. I need to apologize. Oh my God. So anyway, we'll do better.
Okay. So for this week's episode, my trigger warning is family side.
Familicide. Okay, I'm going with it. Remember when we had that conversation like a few months ago and you were so impressed with me that there is in fact a side for every kind of death and you were like amazed that I had brought that to the table for you? Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I've been riding this high for months, but okay. You were like really excited because I said, because we were talking about homicides, and then I was like, oh, well, it's kind of like how suicide for one, homicide, and then I like kept listing like a bunch of different ones, and like you were like, oh, I didn't realize it went out that far. Was this
in an episode or just a conversation?
I thought it was in an episode because I thought I was giving you a fact, and you're like, that's really cool. I didn't know that. And I was like, cool, thank you. Anyway.
I might have been under the influence.
I don't know. Anyway, this one is murdering your family. Oh, fratricide, patricide. I was doing all of those, like murdering your brother, murdering your dad.
Yes. Oh my god.
Patricide. Like yes. Oh infanticide. Yes. We did like the baby one.
Yes. Oh my god. Okay.
Anyway, this one's about families. Familicide. Familicide.
So is it not just a family annihilation then?
I think it's called this because he annihilates himself after. I think it's like he's included in the family.
Okay.
I think it's the difference.
Sure.
I don't know. I'll add both.
As long as you say it with enough, I've learned that if you say anything with enough confidence and or holding a cup of coffee, they will believe you.
Great. Okay. All I have is this candle, but I'll hold it. So great.
Okay. Say it with confidence. Ready, set, go.
Okay. So for this week, my trigger warning is going to be familicide, murder of children, guns, you know, shooting, bludgeoning, bad dad shit, ouchy, yucky, also death of an infant, and then maybe family annihilation, depending on the definitional words of life. So, you know, here's that.
Please, for the love of God, leave that whole conversation we just had in, because otherwise you say baby murder and I laugh.
You giggled. Because I confidently said familicide, familicide.
So for the love of God, Kevin, keep that shit in. Because otherwise I look like an asshole.
Baby murder.
No.
So let me set the scene for you guys. And this.
Y'all couldn't see Kate, but it was so fucking dramatic. Remember me telling Mothman for the first 3 minutes of the. That's what I just experienced.
You set the scene. We're in Germantown, North Carolina. Okay. The incident of
Germantown?
I don't think so. There's no W, but I understand. The incident of note occurred on December 25th, 1929. So, yes, there are holiday Christmas murders that are not GBR. JonBenet Ramsey.
JonBenet Ramsey. No, I was just like, well, yeah, I know that. Mine was on Christmas. No, it was just Christmas themed.
That's insane, though. I'm like, this is going to happen on Christmas Day. And the reason we picked this one is because you guys should be getting this pretty dang close to Christmas. So.
Hell yeah.
Enjoy. Because Saturday's Christmas, babies. And I'm not imagining that. I'm thinking this should come out on Thursday like normal. This one centers around sharecropper Charles Charlie Davis Lawson, who marries Fanny Manring in 1911. So this is where we're at.
What state did you say we were in?
North Carolina.
Okay.
I was going to be like depression and then I was like too strong.
No, that's still accurate. Every time.
So these two humans had 8 children, which is in fact as many as that sounds like. It's 8, which is.
That's 8 too many.
Yeah. I was going to say it's about 8.5 too many. Anyway, their third born, William, did die of an illness, potentially pneumonia, in 1920. And he was 6 years old. So now we are down to 7 kids, and that's important to note. There, like I said, he died. So at the time of the Christmas murder, spoiler alert, sorry, everybody, there is a murder in this. The children were Marie, 17, Arthur, 16, Carrie, 12, Maybelle, 7, James, 4, Raymond, 2, and Mary Lou was less than 1. I saw some sources saying she was as young as 4 months and some saying she was older.
And how old was the one that had died?
He, at the time of this, would have been about 14.
So they had them pretty consistently, like really close together.
Well spaced, yeah. But he was the third born and he was 6 when he passed away. So he was dead for 9 years at this point.
Gotcha. Okay.
He would have been 15, I guess. Anyway, so Charlie's younger brothers, Marion and Elijah, moved to Germantown in 1918, and Lawson followed suit the same year, moving his whole family. The Lawsons worked as tobacco farmers, and in 1927, they had saved up enough money to buy their own farm on Brook Cove Road. So we're in 1927 right now. And so now we're back to 1929, because that's when things are happening, big events. You know, action, people, action. Anyway, in 1929, there's some discrepancy, okay? I've seen some that say it was a few days. I've seen some that say it was a short while. Not a lot, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but at some point in 1929, before Christmas, Charlie, who was 43, took his entire family, incredible, to town to buy new clothing. And this is especially weird because it's 1929 and money is hard to deal with.
I think I know this case. Oh, that sounds familiar.
You're going to know in a second. Give me one second. Okay. He marches them into town. He has them all buy a new outfit. And then he says, while we're here and y'all look fly as hell, let's go get some guy to take our picture.
Did he have all the kids with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are 7 kids and his wife and him. And so we got 9 humans, and they all are buying new clothes and then going to get their portrait done.
Imagine having to bring 7 kids with you everywhere you go.
No, that's disgusting.
I would rather
die.
They
didn't have a minivan, so that shit was rough.
Absolutely not.
No. So this was something that would have been pretty unusual, them buying all that new clothes because of their working status. But when he took them to have a portrait made after, there was some air of credibility to that. And you'll be able to see this family pic on our Instagram and our Facebook. But you guys, it's wild. No one in this photo looks like they are having a good time. Like, nobody, even the baby, knows that the room is tense.
A baby's like, hold on.
She goes, this house is a prison. That's what her face says.
That, you know that TikTok audio that's like, this family makes me want to murder people. That's what that baby was thinking.
As soon as she goes, I hate it here. Basically. And honestly, it seems like Charlie had taken them to get these photos done because he knew something that they did not. And I say this because of something we'll cover in a second. People think that, like I said, this whole event was unusual, but other sources suggest with them having had money to purchase the farm a few years prior that since they were considered well-to-do farmers, this might have been a little bit more
well-to-do.
Yes, but he ends up being a dick, so fuck this guy. One source says that when Charlie took them all to the nearby town for the portraits, he claimed, and this is the part that is fucked up, that it was for a Christmas surprise, which knowing what we do is pretty fucked up because of what happens on Christmas. A couple of things of note before we get started. Apparently in the evenings, Charlie, Fanny, Arthur, and Marie would all work on renovating the farmhouse to make it nice because remember, they've only lived there for a couple years. On one of these such renovating occasions, Charlie had been removing rotten timber when he accidentally struck himself in the head, in the forehead with an axe.
Whoa. Okay. That's a TBI right there. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
I was waiting to see if you'd say anything else because I wrote here, I think Em is going to lose their shit at this part and absolutely roast him. But I wasn't sure, so I had to just set the scene. But I had the note just in case so I could be like, I was right.
Good.
Because I thought the forehead whacked. I just really thought that would get you. Anyway.
Yeah. Right. No, because my initial thought was like, that's a serial killer waiting to happen then.
Well, he's already an adult also, at this point. Like, why did...
Okay, how would you even manage to... Okay. You would have had to bounce back. I think that maybe he was just, I think maybe he just didn't know how an axe worked.
That's also, he's actually just like using the dull end and then he smacked himself and he was like, ouchie.
The blade just goes through his skull and he's like, what happened?
He goes, damn, that crazy. You want to see that? After this incident, friends, neighbors, and family stated that they noticed a change in Charlie's behavior.
Yeah, because he just gave himself a fucking brain injury.
No, he just gave himself fucking brain surgery. That was a lobotomy, dog. He said, full frontal, you got it. So, again, this is just a little tidbit to keep in the back of your tiny little noggins for later. So, early on the morning of the 25th, this is the part that you're deaf going to know the story. So early in the morning of the 25th, the eldest daughter, Marie, woke up early to begin making her Christmas cake. She mixed butter, sugar, and
I was just thinking about this case the other day.
And then she rolled a cup of raisins in the flour and put the whole thing in a circle.
I was just thinking about this case the other day. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. So this is something Marie did every Christmas, and it was kind of like her thing. So once it was done, she was going to ice and decorate it for their big holiday dinner. She left the cake to cool, and Charlie and Arthur, along with Charlie's two beagles, went on a quick Christmas hunt. You know, just dudes being guys. Just guys being dudes.
Just bros being bros.
Just, you know. It is also important to note that the winter of 1929 was particularly harsh, so there was a lot of snow that made conditions pretty bitter and also gave us good footprint evidence to be able to, like, paint the story later. So while hunting, apparently the pair ran out of ammunition, and Arthur asked Charlie if he could go with a friend into town to get some more. And Charlie was like, yeah, for sure. You go do that. That works great. Arthur went into Germantown. I don't know, to buy more ammo. Marie was still working in the kitchen at this point, and her two younger sisters, Carrie and Maybelle, had decided to go visit their aunt and uncle for Christmas. Remember, because they moved to be near their family. So, they had family there. They had their own farm nearby, you know, and they were going to walk. So, you know, unbeknownst to literally anyone, Charlie was already crouching on the other side of the barn, mm-hmm. waiting for his two young daughters to walk past.
Yeah, he sure was.
He shot them both and then bludgeoned them with a hoe handle to make certain that they were dead.
Talk about fucking overkill.
Oh, it was so
unnecessary. Those are your children.
They were literally
them, and then you were like, oh, let me, like, finish them off. Like, they're your babies.
Literally. It's also important to note that rabbit hunting was a really popular Christmas sport, especially at this time and in the area. So hearing those gunshots of him killing his whole family didn't ring alarm bells the way it might have on a different day. And also it was rural, so.
Right. Like, I grew up on a farm. Like, if you hear gunshots, it's like so normal. Like, no one even
bats
an eye.
But if you hear nine in fairly quick succession like that, do you think you would maybe be like, that was a little weird?
No, I've definitely heard that many.
Okay.
Before, like, this is like, yeah, it's definitely not common. And right. Also, we're in the U.S., in the Midwest. So,
That's fair. You're right.
You know, I think in other places, it definitely would raise alarms.
Well, it worked out in his favor, unfortunately, because the shots did not ring alarm bells for anyone. And it gave him a lot of time afterwards to continue. This is out of the blue on Christmas, by the way, in case y'all were like, what's going on here? It's Christmas. It's fucking Christmas. Charlie headed back up towards his house and shot Fanny while she sat on the porch peeling potatoes for dinner that night.
Fanny.
That's not how you treat your wife, sir.
That ain't it, buddy.
That ain't it. Marie heard the gunshot this time, and she let out a scream, and this is when she began ushering her two younger brothers to hide. But unfortunately, it didn't matter. Charlie was already reloading with more shells, and he pushed the door open and pulled the trigger, killing Marie. She landed on the floor in front of the fireplace, and that was where she stayed. He found James and Raymond while they were hiding, and he shot them both. And this is when he approached the crib of baby Mary Lou.
Oh my God.
I know we already did a trigger warning, but this is really heavy. And I just want to go ahead and remind everyone that it has to do with a baby. And if this isn't your thing, just skip ahead about 30 seconds.
Mother, that was directly towards you, because every time we talk about kids being murdered, we warn you and then you yell at me about it. So please skip forward a minute. Thanks.
30 seconds. Yeah. I just need you to hit that 15 two times right now. So Charlie wasted no time, and he began beating four-month-old Mary Lou until she died.
That was, like, the worst way to do that. Like, that's horrendous. Like, because that's, like, that baby had to sit there and suffer through that. It wasn't just one and done.
Yeah, and I've seen some discrepancy on, like, with what, whether it was an object or with pure rage. So,
yeah. No, thank you.
Not that that makes it, you know, better or anything like that.
No.
But at least with just, an object, it might have ended her suffering a little faster.
That's fucking horrendous.
So that should be about the 30 seconds for you guys coming back. The vibe is not good.
If you missed it, I'm fucking nauseous now.
Yeah. This is definitely, that one was really heavy. And I just wanted to let you guys know, especially because I know a lot of our listeners have babies. And I know my mom in particular and Em's mom in particular, they do not enjoy hearing about when kids are injured, killed, or anything like that. And so we just want to make sure you guys have that consent, even in your listening stuff.
Right, right.
But yeah, so relatives, I'm guessing his brothers, given the rest of the story, came to visit the family later that day, and they were the ones who found the horrible and bloody scene. Like, each person,
it's hard enough having to be the person to see that, but like being your family member.
I couldn't even imagine.
No.
Well, and like the worst thing is, what I'm guessing is, even if he brought Fanny inside, there's still a blood trail from that porch to the inside. So they knew right when they got there that something was wrong.
Right.
And I'm also guessing that the snow by their barn was pretty soaked with blood because of the girls. Yeah.
Right, because it was just so overkill with them that I'm sure there was a fucking mess and a half.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where he laid them, but each person had their hands folded over their chests and their heads were on pillows.
Oh God, that's the detail that like really fucking gets me. Like, because it's almost like you were gonna like, after the fact, try to show them compassion.
It's like you can't do that now. Like you took them from this world. First of all, it
doesn't matter at this point because they're gone. You killed them.
Like, you're doing that for you now.
Yeah, it's just to comfort you and to make you feel better after you did this horrific thing.
For the two girls that he killed outside, he used stones as the pillows.
Why? You already did the just leave them alone. Like, just stop.
Just leave them alone, dude. Oh, you've literally, you've done enough. Like, oh, if you could just stop, that'd be cool. And like I said, I don't know if everybody got to hear it, since we did encourage you to skip if you didn't want to hear. But after he was finished, Charlie did flee into the woods. I have seen a couple different things that suggest his dogs might have been with him, his beagle.
Right.
Because what it sounds like is he went with the beagles into the woods and he washed his hands in a creek to get the blood off that was all over him. And then the snow shows that he paced around a tree for hours.
Just like circles, in one spot.
One single circle. Like,
right.
A tree for hours.
Right.
Just a little bit before sunset, the neighbors heard a shot in the woods that alerted everyone of his suicide. One source says, and this is the hardest quote, so buckle up, babies. The echoes of the gunfire had barely faded before the mournful howls of Charlie's beagles led the searchers to his bodies.
Or to his body. Oh, poor babies.
And I'm like, oh no.
Oh.
Because dogs know. And that, yeah. Oh. This,
what the fuck? No, thank you.
Yeah. On his body were letters to his parents and a crumbled up piece of scrap paper that said, "Blame nobody but I."
Which, well, yeah, you.
Yeah, no shit.
Obviously.
Which is kind of interesting because even now people have tried to give him and be like, actually, Charlie didn't kill his family. It was the mob, I bet. And I'm like,
oh, the sure. Because all signs up until this point is pointing towards the fucking mob.
Right.
Okay.
Snow made the steep hill leading up to the cabin really difficult to manage. So family members, friends, and deputies had the unfortunate task of transporting their bodies wrapped in borrowed bed sheets by a makeshift sled hearse.
Oh.
Yeah. If you guys could kind of picture it, and it led, or sorry, it was a makeshift sled that led to hearses parked on the main road. So that sounds like the worst sled ride I've ever been a part of. But yeah.
Oh, that just, it's like, It kind of reminds me of like the Starved Rock case.
Yeah, with like him like moving their bodies in the canyon and stuff.
Right.
Like, don't do that. Oh, and them having to get it out through the canyon, and you're like, Jesus.
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really like this fact, but it is a fact, and I must read facts.
Oh, you have been having – you've been having a lot of fun up to this point?
Yeah, that's all been great until now, obviously. The whole family was laid to rest in a single burial plot, and I don't really think that's cool.
Including Charlie?
As the head of the family still. And I don't think that's fair.
He murdered them. You're not going to go collect all of – Ted Bundy's victims and bury them all together. How is it any fucking different? With Ted different?
As the main.
Yeah.
Like, Charles is like when I say he's the main plot, so imagine one headstone, okay? And in this headstone, there's one giant circle headstone, and that's got Charles. And then we've got, like, baby headstones coming off the side.
Oh.
And those are the families. And their names are all stacked on top of each other. But he got, like, a real – I'm going to try and find a photo for you guys to be able to post. And I'm mad.
That's because even though he murdered his entire fucking family, he was still the man. He was still in charge after he murdered
his whole fucking family. And that's fine. That's fine. So that was a fact that made me pretty upset. Here's a second fact that will make you all upset. Mm. I got another one for you. 9 bodies, but only 8 caskets. And that is because of this horrible, sad fact that I'm going to hit you with. It's because they buried Fanny holding her baby, Mary Lou, so she could cradle her forever. Yeah. And that fact was brought to you by dayruiners.com. Me. M is aghast. They are going through it in the worst way right now. Yeah, we'll just take a sec. You just do what you gotta do.
I'm gonna either cry or throw up.
Either option feels appropriate at this point.
Do you want a joke of to take our minds off of things?
You said, do you want to ride this wave or do you want to get off it? Because I don't like this ride.
What kind of room has no windows or doors?
I don't know.
A mushroom.
My friend told me at work today, she was like, what's the last part of your body to die? And I was like, I don't know. And she said, your eyes. And I said, what? And she said, they dilate.
That was awful.
She looked at me so proud and she was like, Micah didn't like my joke. And I was like, it was amazing. I loved it. Their funeral was actually a really massive event. It attracted some 1,500 odd people who were simply curious about the murders. They were not family friends, just dicks. Now here comes, don't go to funerals.
So was Charlie.
That's true too. But like, I support, you know, your morbid curiosities, everyone. Don't show up to funerals of the victims. Don't do that. Just don't. And if you're
thinking about
doing it, just don't.
Don't.
It's actually that easy.
Here's a fun and easy thing for you to do.
Not don't. That. Yeah.
Simply literally stop.
Almost anything else. Yeah. Same with the Westboro Baptist Church. If you guys could also just not.
It's a lot easier for you to not do the thing than for you to do the thing.
It's more work for you to do the thing.
It's much more work for you to do the thing.
Way less.
Simply
to just
cease.
Not. Yeah. Costs you nothing to just not do it. Yeah. Crazy. Anyway. Now here comes the fun part, in my humble opinion, because we don't know why. Obviously, there's not a clear answer, but I think we can all fairly agree that this was premeditated, especially with the Christmas surprise comment. Some people try and say that it was simply the axe to the forehead, which I agree probably didn't help.
It definitely didn't help the situation, but
right.
But he also took them all out to do like a last big hurrah and then murdered them. He knew what he would, and if he didn't know what he was doing, why would he kill all of them?
And why would he call it a Christmas surprise?
Exactly.
Anyway, so like I said, I don't think it helped getting hit in the head with an axe. You're not going to hear me being like, no, I think that improved the situation because I'm not disagreeing. But when his brain was autopsied, it was devoid of abnormalities. So
Interesting.
I thought so. Yeah.
Maybe he was just fucking bonkers.
Hilarious fact of note, though, is that after the brain was autopsied, they were like, transport that shit back. And they were like, no one knows where this brain is.
What do you mean? It's just gone?
Yep. And what thrills me about that is that it's harder to lose things back then, really, than it probably is now. Well, actually, no, I guess that may not be true. It's harder to lose things now, maybe, with the regulations. Yeah, for sure. I'm just thinking, like, you probably only had to go so far, and you had, one thing to do, probably, and you didn't
and also,
do that one thing.
You don't have a ton of family annihilation cases on your hands. Maybe make sure you know where his brain went.
You don't have a ton of cases on your hands. You can't keep track of a brain in a car for 4 hours? Dog, that's bad management. And honestly, you should be fired. So the brain was devoid of abnormalities, and it is, in fact, missing. One source did say that he was known to have behaved quite erratically in the months prior, and that he had complained to his doctor about severe headaches and insomnia. But that's not verified. And John Hopkins Hospital did the autopsy and analysis. So if you have any problems, you can take it up with them.
I wonder if there's a way like that you could have some kind of brain injury that's like more about like the like neurotransmitters or something, like the how the neurons are firing or something.
Rather than just about, like visible damage.
Right. And I wonder if maybe that's what happened. Maybe they just didn't have a way to detect it.
Well, and I also wonder, too, if an autopsy in 2021 versus an autopsy in 1929 would yield the same results.
Right, exactly.
But we don't know because brain do be missing.
True.
He gone.
That brain really do be missing.
Truly, it was missing before it was missing, though. So that was,
well, you know. That's accurate.
Yeah. In 1990, however, a book titled White Christmas, Bloody Christmas was published, and this is where the story gets spicy, a little zest for your day, because someone offers us a why that makes a little sense.
Okay.
So here we go. This laid a claim that there was a little something sexual happening between Marie, the eldest daughter, and her dad, Charlie. Something in the incestuous realm, in case you guys were picking up what I'm putting down. And I'm guessing it probably wasn't super consensual. And considering she was a child and it was her dad, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, because even if she wasn't a child, there's no way for that to be consensual because it is
your dad.
Yeah.
And it's a power thing.
Exactly.
And also, that's fucking gross.
Excuse me, Your Honor. That's fucked up.
Agreed.
No matter the situation, there is no consent there, and it is fucking gross.
I know. I literally wrote, and I'm guessing probably not super consensual. And then in parentheses, I wrote, well, fucking duh. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, because like
there's
you can't even call it a relationship. He was sexually assaulting.
Correct. And so here's like some thought processes here. Okay. Because in this claim, Stella Lawson, a relative, was interviewed for the book, and she said she overheard a group of her aunts talking and when Fanny had confided that she was concerned about an incestuous relationship between Charlie and Marie, and this would have been in 1928. So she had a full year of suspicion before this event happened, okay? Coupled with that, in the same book, I'm pretty sure, one of Marie's close friends, Ella May, said that a few weeks before Christmas, Marie had told her she was pregnant with Charlie's baby.
Fucking gross.
Yeah. She also confirmed that Charlie and Fanny knew about it.
Oh.
Nothing of note was said about what was planning to be done about this situation, by the way. And also, here's my question, okay? Because Marie is telling someone fairly openly about it, which makes it seem like she's not. My question lies in, I'm thinking this poor girl is so brainwashed at this point that she's,
right,
this is fine.
Right.
And I'm like, how long has this been happening that this is?
Probably forever.
And so I'm like, fuck. Anyway, that was
probably her entire life.
So, there unfortunately is only speculation to go off of, but there is a note that says
in Marie's autopsy, there is no record, like record of her being pregnant. But okay. I have a couple theories on that as well, because I'm fairly certain that the autopsy for her was done in their town by their town people. Mm-hmm. Why would you check that if you didn't have any reason to in 1920?
Yeah, especially in, right.
And especially because, like, here's my thing. So, like, Charlie's pretty well known in the town, okay? He snapped. But, like, now you have his dead daughter on your thing, and you're not going to be like, I should check and see if she's pregnant, because that'll ruin the family even further. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's night. It's, like, 29. Like, it's...
It's easily oversought. Like, it's
like,
fine.
Your image, you know, is, like, more important than anything, which just goes right back to why Charlie is still head of the household.
Despite, yeah.
Right.
So,
you know, that makes sense.
Potentially, but even if my thought was potentially that in 1929, without the reason to look, they might just not have looked.
Right.
So the house became a place of note to come look at, and they even left Marie's cake on the counter, but they did have to add glass when these motherfucking visitors kept stealing the raisins. And I have a comment that says, that is wild. Why are y'all stealing raisins? I said, why are y'all stealing their raisins? Oh my God.
Like, you're stealing raisins from a cake that's in a crime scene that a dead woman made.
See, my thing was, you're stealing dead people's raisins. That cannot be good karma.
No. No.
Like, just don't steal it's people's like that, raisins.
It's like that one case where, like, people were just tromping through the crime scene and someone stole a piece of this guy's skull.
And they were like, sweet.
Yeah. Why? Why? No, that's why just are y'all that's taking inviting a raisins? Ghost. You have a ghost in your house now.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Your raisin, it's haunted. Anyway.
Truly.
Also, did you guys note that Arthur was not murdered in this?
The oldest?
Oldest brother. Remember? He's in town getting ammunition. So where's Arthur right now? Right? We're wondering.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So Arthur was not murdered. That's what happened. He was spared because he was off getting ammunition in town. And this poor guy probably had wicked survivor guilt, obviously. But the theory.
Yeah. Okay. You tell the theory before I tell you my thoughts.
The theory is the reason why Arthur was allowed to live is based on Charlie thinking he could accomplish more with him gone. So he was afraid that if Arthur had been home, he would have been overpowered. Like, they think Arthur would have stepped in and intervened and potentially not allowed the annihilation to be completed. So the theory is that in his mind, 8 was better than 9 in the sense that it was better than none.
Right.
Is what most people are thinking.
Okay.
So what were you thinking?
If you're going to take out your whole family, like, you're already up against 8 people.
He wasn't, though. He had them so well separated that the only issue was Arthur with a gun.
Right. But still, why would you pick, knowing that he was out getting ammunition and was going to have a gun with him?
Because he was with a friend. I think he thought he'd be gone long enough.
Like, I have a hard time believing that he didn't know something.
I don't think he did. And the only reason that I don't is because he was just a 16-year-old kid. But like I said, most people think he would have just prevented a lot of the death.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, he ends up dying tragically in an accident when he's in his early 30s. And that just feels wildly coincidental. In general. So, like I said, people were allowed to come gander at the home. And this was the decision of Charlie's brother, Marion. And he also left the cabin disheveled and bloodstained for authenticity.
Ew.
Gross. And then he defended his choice of the tours, claiming it was to raise money for poor orphaned Arthur, who would have to settle the farm's mortgage now.
It seems like if you wanted to help that situation, you would just help
settle the mortgage, maybe?
Right. You wouldn't put on
going to like porn out show. His house.
Like you can be putting on a show for this poor child's where his entire family got murdered. You would just be like, you're a kid, you're 16, you shouldn't have to deal with this. I'll deal with it. But that's just silly. Me.
That's silly. There's no trauma involved in that, Em.
I get think it.
Arthur's just supposed to live unscathed?
God forbid.
He didn't have enough trauma to deal with this, his whole dead family. Sprinkle some more on, baby.
For some spice.
A little bit of zest.
Jesus Christ almighty.
One famous visitor of note to this absolute shit show was famous mobster John Dillinger. After he had just escaped from prison, he went with his girlfriend and criminal partner while he was escaping towards Florida.
Okay. Very interesting.
Just a fun fact I found.
Is that why people think it was the mob?
I guess, maybe, because he like showed up once. And then another fact for you is that Charlie's two beagles were named Sam and Queen.
They're okay though, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're sad. I'm sure that they died of old age now, but yeah.
Oh, you don't think they're still kicking it right now?
I mean, I like to think all dogs are immortal, but...
You don't think they're 80 years old, 100 years old almost?
Maybe.
Who's to say?
Not I. I'm not a doctor. Bet. Yeah, but this last thing you just said, a doctor returned to Maryland with Lawson's brain preserved in a jar of formaldehyde. The brain's location isn't known. That's the full,
the
like...
The brain's location is unknown. Where's the brain at? What a weird thing to go missing.
Like a cryptid. It's unknown.
You know exactly where the raisins from that cake is.
But you don't know where the brain... Yeah, well, people are stealing Marie's raisins, and that's bad karma.
Truly. Also, can we just talk about the thought of a raisin cake?
It doesn't sound good.
No, it does not.
Although I do know what kind of cake it is because they do it in Italy. It's like panettone or something like that, but it's got raisins
okay,
in it.
Okay, we get it. You went to Italy.
Oh my God. No one hates me more for having gone to Italy than Em.
True.
It's true.
True. I mean, I'm not arguing with that.
But yeah, so that wild tale was a Christmas murder.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Oh, I like
I would say family annihilation.
Familicide.
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 Familial side.
The family's dead.
Yeah, basically. That's basically what all those words mean.
That's it. If it ends inside, it's not good.
Just honestly, just terrible.
True. Yeah. But yeah, that was thrilling. I hope you guys enjoyed this roller coaster. Remember when we said it was going to be a short case an hour ago?
God forbid.
That was exciting. I had a good time. I hope you guys all had a good time.
Oh, a blast, I would say.
I would say it was just 10 out of 10 good fun. Good family fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun for the whole family.
Where was the fun? You just know someone was like, I'm going to take this brain. No one's going to miss it. And it's just a family heirloom at this point. It's probably just sitting in a storage locker somewhere.
Well, the first person who took a raisin, it was probably fine. But around person like 10, the cake is starting to look a little nakey. Okay? Stop stealing their raisins.
I agree.
I'm so pressed about the raisins. That's
I know
what
you are.
That's what this level, that's what this episode will be called. Stop stealing their raisins.
Leave the raisins alone. Return his brain.
Let the raisins rest in peace. That's all we ask.
R.I.P. Raisins in peace.
Do you guys want to see any pictures from this wild guy?
You can follow our Instagram.
At under the influence of true crime.
You can join our Facebook group.
Also at under the influence of true crime.
You can follow our Twitter.
Under true crime.
You can send us an email.
Now listen here, kids.
Oh my God.
You got some options. The world is your oyster and you may pick and choose under true crime or under the influence, both Gmails, baby.
Oh my God. We forgot to tell the people we're not going to be here next week.
It's Christmas, sluts. What'd you expect?
Great. You can rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcast.
That was our announcement for telling we'll not be here.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Bye.
Hope you guys have a good one.
And you know what else you can do? Join us right back here next week for some more Spooky Tales.
Bye. Bing bong.
Lucky life!